All right, let's go right to our scripture. I want to remind you also that there's a prayer team up here afterwards, and if you need prayer, especially you who raise your hands, we'll be up here to pray with you. Right after the service is over, you can come up during the worship song. All right, I'm going to read the white, and you read the yellow. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And for me, that utterance may be given to me. For which I am an ambassador in chains. Yeah, pretty strong. Okay, so let me ask you a question. I want to see if you've been listening during the armor. Is prayer part of the armor? Yes, according to the grammar, prayer is part of the armor. We wouldn't think so. In fact, it's kind of elevated up to be even one of the greatest pieces of armor that we can have. So I want to give you a translation because they left some of the words out. And can you go to the next slide for me? Thanks. Okay. Stand is the verb in there. If you remember what's referred, the action, okay. Stand by means of, or through the action of, every prayer and request. And the request is pleading with God, praying in every season in spirit, and in spirit staying alert with all continual intense effort, making request or pleading for or on behalf of. Okay, that's what the word means when we say for. It means on the behalf of all the saints, the holy ones. Okay, so when I say the saints, who are the saints? Okay, how many are saints here? Okay, you're listening last week. We've got about three quarters of you. Okay, the other of you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you should have your hand up. So let's do it again. Everybody knows Christ. Okay, all right. You are saints because saints, all saints means is a holy one. Have we been made holy by Christ? Yes. Yeah. Okay. And so we are the saints, and we need to do what God says, and that is to please, please pray for us. Because the force of what the Holy Spirit is saying here is to pray for us, pray on behalf of your fellow Christians in this assembly all over the world. We're going to be praying for these orphans. We are going to be praying for a lot of people that are in hard times in other countries. We were talking yesterday about the persecuted, and it was about 5 or 6 years ago. I read a book on the persecution in China, and with the underground churches, they estimate the underground church in China has 250 million Christians. That's our population. They have more Christians, or there's just as many Christians in China as we do here. And because persecution really drives them, we need to be praying for that. And we are the saints, and God has recreated us to be those saints. And the reason why we pray, and here's the thing, is we have found ourselves in a battle, amen? And in a war, we can't see. If in effect, we are like this. I found this picture where he's got a blindfold on, because we really are blindfolded in a sense as a warrior, and we're fighting for our lives. We're fighting for others. We're fighting for righteousness. Amen. And we're fighting to bring others into the everlasting kingdom of God. And then training them up, not only to survive the battle, but begin to fight the battle with us for others. Now, because of the devil's schemes, we have an evil influence, a dart that he's thrown that has stuck for years and years, all the way back to creation, creeping in to reduce our vision to live for ourselves. Right? That's probably one of the biggest darts that he throws, that we live for ourselves rather than living for Christ. Friends, we're being seduced into thinking that it's okay to exist and work only for ourselves. And if we have extra time in our schedule, then maybe we can donate some of that to the cause of Christ. But I don't think, well, I'm sorry, I know. It was never God's intent when we came to Christ to look after ourselves, but to look after others, right? Loving God, loving others. And figuring out, and we've come to a place we try to figure out how to survive alone, praying for conveniences in this life, praying for happiness, praying or living out a self-focused life, and then wonder why we have so many problems, because anytime you focus on yourself, it's a lot of problems. Do you realize that? Okay, oh man, I'm not getting much response on that one. When you live for yourself, you will have problems because the problems, a lot of problems can't be solved in this, right? So it just shines the light on what you don't have, what you're missing, that kind of thing. And so as a society, we begin to self-medicate ourselves with drugs and toys and foods and diversions and to numb the pain and hassles because it was never in God's plan for us to do that. That's a pretty heavy dart, isn't it? That he's thrown. You know, James says this, and I love this in James chapter 4 about prayer. You do not have because you do not ask. How many times have we been there where we've not even prayed? And then he says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. And it means you ask is the word badly. I love that because it really shows us we pray badly that we might spend it on our pleasures. And we are soldiers of the cross, and we've all been called into his service to be workers together in unity, to see others come to Christ, to pray for them, to help them grow, and get them in the action with us. And we all have some piece in this process. Amen? We all have different spiritual gifts. We all have some kind of peace in it. And we can contribute to that cause because that is our initial goal in life. But we need time. Do you know what I mean by need time? It's a term we used to use years ago. I don't know. I haven't heard it in a long time. You need prayer time. Because our calling is huge. When you stop to think of it, huge. And here's the specifics in verse 19, in the verse, our ambassadorship as a church and individuals. And Paul is describing his own calling, and then we're going to go to our calling, verse 19. And, because of the previous context, pray for me, for the purpose that utterance, we meaning words and conversation and talk, may be given to me that I may open my mouth. And open my mouth is a Greek idiom for speak out. That I may speak out boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador, a representative of God in chains. For the purpose that, another purpose clause, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, I never think of Paul as not being bold. Do you? I mean, all the stuff he's going through, and what is he asking, or what was he asking the Ephesians to pray for? His boldness. Isn't that the prayer for us? The boldness? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 if you have your Bibles. It'll be up here if you don't have your Bibles. I want to run through some scriptures because Paul puts it together for us in a very clear manner. Let's start with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, as we look at our calling as ambassadors, our marching orders as fellow soldiers of the cross. 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Don't you love those words? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, every time I read that verse, I think back years and years ago to a variety show back in probably the 60s. And one of the variety shows invited Billy Graham to come to the show, and he was in a skit and that kind of thing. And finally, the moderator says, well, is there anything you'd like to say, Billy? And Billy said, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new, you know, on public TV all across the United States, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you know, and he went and gave a salvation message right on there. And they allowed him to do that because he did their little funny skits. And I never forgot that. Anyhow, it's so great that we become a new creation in Christ. Now, all things are of God. Now, I know that when we see phrases, that seems kind of funny. What it is ta panta. Can you say that with me? Ta panta in Greek, and it means the all. It's talking about the body of Christ, the all in the body of Christ. And so it says, now the all in the body of Christ are of God, who has reconciled or reunited us to himself through Jesus Christ. It has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, the reuniting. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling, reuniting the world to himself, not imputing, not chalking up, would be another way of saying it, their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The by word meaning the being able to talk about reconciliation. Now here's a definition of reconciliation. Purposeful and open behavior designed to remove hostility. Purposeful behavior to remove hostility and restore original friendly relations, to make things right with one another, to reunite. You know, I think about that with my dad. Growing up, my dad and I were like apples and oranges, or opposite ends of a magnet or whatever. We worked hard at having a relationship, and finally we got married. I got married, and I moved from Washington to Colorado, and he was mad. He was mad, so was my mom, because what are you doing in Colorado when we live in Washington State, you know? And so I began to work with my dad and hug him and love him and call him, and it took several years. And we began to grow closer and closer and closer together, and we reunited. We became one heart again, and we forgave each other of all the issues, that whatever issues there were, and we reconciled. Boy, I don't think there's anything greater than that. You know, when you have a problem with parents or relatives or that kind of thing, to be able to come back and reconcile. And there's nothing like it. And God has reconciled us with him. What a beautiful thought. But think about this. It took me years with my dad. It took God a moment when Christ took his last breath to reconcile us. And he wants all people to be reconciled. But someone has to communicate that. He's left it up to us. Listen to this in Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? If they don't know, how can they believe? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or an announcer or a messenger? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And I want to get the preacher idea out of that passage. It just means a message or telling, okay? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Do you hear that this morning? Amen. Boy, we're sharing our faith with somebody. Your feet are beautiful, right? Because remember the feet that he talked about is the preparation of the gospel. Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors. We are representatives for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. And this would be a quote. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now, how would we receive the grace of God in vain? And that is if we receive the grace and we make no attempt to talk to anybody else about it, and we hide it. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, sometimes we kind of feel like, oh boy, this is not a very good culture that we have right now to share the gospel. Wrong. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the acceptable time. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 2:4. And if you have your Bibles, I really want you to turn there because I want you to underline this, okay? And, you know, when I look at it, I know at Harvest we do a lot of things well. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see a lot of the ministries going on. Harvest also has some things they don't even do. That's just the way an organization called church works. First of all, you have a phenomenal preacher. Oh, I thought maybe I could get away with that. Okay, all right, okay. We have technology that's beyond our size. We have a friendly church because we have so many people that take it on themselves to visit with the visitors, to visit with those. We do special events well. We minister to even community pastors. We have a great number of volunteers. Last time I took count, we were over 50% of our people were involved in some type of a ministry on a regular basis. We have a great usable building that the Lord's blessed us with that when people drive past and they come in, they'll go, man, this place is busy all the time. Well, praise the Lord. That's why we built it, right? We want it to be busy. And the list goes on and on. You see it in your bulletin. But we are, let me phrase it into a question. Are we good at reaching the lost for Christ? That's a question we all have to answer in our heart. Are we not ambassadors for Christ? Yeah. We started this church to be ambassadors of Christ, to absolutely reach the unchurched, the unsaved, and bring them in. And we didn't necessarily want membership transfer, they call it, those kind of things, except a lot of you have come because you've gone to churches where they don't preach the gospel. And that's fine. But our goal needs to be, we want to chunk off the kingdom of darkness and bring it into the kingdom of light. Amen. We want to bring those people in, and it takes hardcore prayer, I'm telling you. We know that, don't we? Because people don't want you to say, hey, well, would you like to come to our church? And, well, you know, I got so much to do on Sunday, and, you know, it's just, it takes a lot of prayer. And yet, we have to use that knee time, that hardcore prayer, because God wants it. Listen, let me just read that verse now. 1 Timothy 2:4. God, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. What's God's desire? All men be saved. When it says men, it means people. All people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, years ago, Debbie and I attended a conference up in Keystone, and they had asked me to speak on the subject of evangelism, and so I did. And at the end of my message, after preaching on evangelism, I had my associate pastor at that time, Clyde Roy, he's retired now, and he came up to the podium and shared a salvation message when I got done, just like I do at the end of the service. And now you have to understand, these people were theologians and missionaries and pastor and Bible school teachers and educated churchgoers, and enough that they spent their money to come out to Keystone to listen to all this great teaching. And Clyde started out with, real people are going to a real hell. And he stopped, and you could hear the silence in the room. And they didn't recover for a while. And he gave the salvation message. And, you know, we're kind of afraid that it's a little politically incorrect to mention the word hell, right? Oh, sorry. That's not politically correct, is it? Or Jesus, you know? I mean, it really is kind of in our society now, but we, especially hell, we don't mention that. You can go to heaven, but we really don't talk about hell very much, and there's real people going to a real hell. And it's our job to rescue them from hell and bring them into the kingdom of God, amen? Amen. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying that's what the ministry of reconciliation is. And we followed up that message with a, they had a call-out seminar type thing, and almost everybody in that building came to that seminar. We could barely squeeze in there. And as we shared stories of the people that we had led to Christ, because, you know, when I give the salvation, that doesn't happen much anymore, does it, in church? And as we began to share with some of the people that not only came to Christ but began to serve, people began to cry. And in fact, I could hear them in the audience saying, and we're talking theologians, Bible teachers, missionaries, we forgot. Because the root of that very fellowship that I belong to started out with missions. And I could hear him say, we forgot to share our faith. And people began to cry. And not only had they forgotten to share their faith, they have forgotten how to share their faith. And looking back, I don't know if we have forgotten. You know, the thing is that every Sunday, when I pray the prayer, I try to say it the same way every time so you will know it, right? And if you've been here for 2 or 3 years, you've heard it every Sunday for 2 or 3 years so that you know how to lead somebody else to Christ. And so next week, I'm going to train you how to share your faith. Okay, so be here. I'm going to give everybody a little tidy bulletin type thing with ways to do it. It's a very simple way to be able to share your faith, because people make it really complicated. You know, I remember when I went to Bible school and they gave me Kennedy Evangelism Explosion. Anybody remember that book? It was about this thick, and it had illustrations, and it was all about me presenting to the person. I'm going to show you how to make it the person talking to you by this method. So next week, be here. And you know what? I think God loves this subject, don't you? Stop and think about it. If he's given us the ministry of reconciliation, he really loves us talking about leading people to Christ. And he told us to do it. And God loves harvest in his people. And he's teaching us to trust in him, count on him through prayer. And prayer is becoming a greater and greater emphasis that we need, because we need to depend on him. And so here's a phrase I learned years ago, and I want you to think about. We want what God wants. You hear that? We want what God wants because what he wants, he gets behind. Isn't that a great phrase? Yeah. And this morning, I believe we have marching orders through prayer to become ambassadors. And they go to our community, our neighborhood, our families with the message of Christ, that he died for sin and that we can have eternal life by simply asking him into our life to be Lord and believe that he rose from the dead. So I pray that God would make clear the way for us to share our faith, to open doors, and that happening among us. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Yeah. Let's pray. Suit up. Father, we come this morning. Lord, we're scared to death when it comes to sharing our faith. We always think we're going to goof it up because we forget the Holy Spirit is working through us in their heart. And we can jumble it up so bad it doesn't make any sense, but the Holy Spirit gets through to that heart. But you've given us the job of the ministry of reconciliation to be ambassadors for you. And Lord, I just pray that we'll be able to do that as we study over the next couple weeks this passage that Paul asks for boldness. Lord, we ask for boldness. We ask that you'll give us the strength and the lack of fear to be able to share our faith to those who don't know, Lord. And may you be glorified in that. While your heads are bowed, you might have come this morning and you don't know Christ. Maybe you don't have a personal relationship with him. Let me just talk to you for a second. Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard. And the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so, my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning, I'm going to pray a little prayer, and you just pray this prayer along with me. And the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said. And because of that, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you. While our heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer this morning and you really meant it, you meant and you want that relationship with Christ, will you raise your hand up, put it back down. Let God know you meant business. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else this morning? Father, we are so grateful that we can ask you to be our boss, our Lord, and believe that he rose from the dead and Jesus Christ does the rest of the work in us. And we thank you for that. Lord, may you be glorified and may your son Jesus Christ be glorified this morning. Because one day we're going to spend eternity with you and we can't wait for those days. And until then, Lord, help us to be ambassadors for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.